The 7th of July. At the office all the morning, at noon, dined at home and Creed with me, and after dinner he and I, 2 or 3 hours in my chamber, discoursing of the fittest way for a man to do that hath money, and find all he offers of turning some into gold and leaving some in a friend's hand, is nothing more than what I thought of myself, but is doubtful, as well as I, what is best to be done of all those, or other ways to be thought on. He tells me how he finds all things mighty dull at court, and that they now begin to lie long in bed, it being, as we suppose, not seemly for them to be found playing and gaming as they used to be, nor that their minds are at ease enough to follow their sports, and yet not knowing how to employ themselves, though there be work enough for their thoughts and counsels and pains, they keep long in bed. But he thinks with me that there is nothing in the world can help us, but the king's personal looking after his business and his officers, and that with that we may yet do well, but otherwise must be undone, nobody at this day taking care of anything, nor hath anybody to call him to account for it. Thence left him, and to my office, all the afternoon busy, and in some pain in my back by some bruise or other I've given myself in my right testicle this morning. And the pain lies there, and hath done, and in my back thereupon all this day. At night into the garden to my wife, and Lady Pen and Peg, and Creed, who stayed with them till 10 at night. My Lady Pen did give us a tart and other things, and so broke up late, and I to bed. It proved the hottest night that ever I was in my life, and thundered and lightened all night long, and rained hard. But, Lord, to see in what fear I lay a good while hearing of a little noise of somebody walking in the house. So rung the bell, and it was my maid's going to bed about 1 o'clock in the morning. But the fear of being robbed, having so much money in the house, was very great, and is still so, and doth much disquiet me. The 8th of July, Lord's Day. Up and pretty well of my pain, so that it did not trouble me at all, and I do clearly find that my pain in my back was nothing, but only accompanied my bruise in my stone. To church, wife and Mercer and I, in expectation of hearing some mighty preacher today. Mistress Mary Battelier is sending us word so, but it proved our ordinary silly lecturer, which made me merry, and she laughed upon us to see her mistake. At noon Will Hewer dined with us, and a good dinner, and I expected to have had news sent me of Nep's christening today. But hearing nothing of it, I did not go, though I fear it is but their forgetfulness, and so I may disappoint them. To church after dinner again, a thing that I have not done a good while before, go twice in one day. After church, with my wife and Mercer and Tom by water through bridge to the spring garden at Vauxhall, and thence down to Deptford, and there did a little business, and so back home and to bed. The 9th of July. Up betimes, and with Sir William Penn in his coach to Westminster to Sir George Downing's, but missed of him, and so we parted, and I by water home, where busy all the morning. At noon dined at home, and after dinner to my office, where busy till come to by Lovett and his wife, who have brought me some sheets of paper varnished on one side, which lies very white and smooth, and I think will do our business most exactly, and will come up to the use that I intended them for, and I am apt to believe will be an invention that will take in the world. I have made up a little book of it to give Sir William Coventry tomorrow, and am very well pleased with it. Home with them, and there find my Aunt White with my wife, come to take her leave of her, being going for the summer into the country. And there was also Mistress Mary Battelier and her sister, newly come out of France, a black, very black woman, but mighty good-natured people both, as ever I saw. Here I made the black one sing a French song, which she did mighty innocently, and then Mistress Lovett play on the lute, which she doth very well. And then Mercer and I sang, and so with great pleasure I left them, having showed them my chamber and 1,000 pounds in gold, which they wondered at, and given them sweetmeats, and shown my Aunt White my father's picture, which she admires. So I left them, and to the office where Mr. Moore came to me, and talking of my lord's family business, tells me that Mr. Shepley is ignorantly, we all believe, mistaken in his accounts, above £700 more than he can discharge himself of, which is a mighty misfortune, poor man, and may undo him. And yet everybody believes that he doth it most honestly. I am troubled for him very much. He gone, I hard at the office till night, then home to supper and to bed. The 10th of July. Up and to the office where busy all the morning sitting, and there presented Sir William Coventry with my little book made up of Lovett's varnished paper, which he and the whole board liked very well. At noon, home to dinner, and then to the office, the yard being very full of women, I believe about 300, coming to get money for their husbands and friends that are prisoners in Holland, and they lay clamouring and swearing and cursing us, that my wife and I were afeard to send a venison pasty that we have for supper tonight to the cooks to be baked, for fear of their offering violence to it. But it went, and no hurt done. Then I took an opportunity when they were all gone into the foreyard, and slipped into the office, and there busy all the afternoon. But by and by the women got into the garden, and came all to my closet window, and there tormented me, and I confess their cries were so sad for money, and laying down the condition of their families and their husbands, and what they have done and suffered for the king, and how ill they are used by us, and how well the Dutch are used here by the allowance of their masters, and what their husbands are offered to serve the Dutch abroad, that I do most heartily pity them, and was ready to cry to hear them, but cannot help them. However, when the rest was gone, I did call one to me that I heard complain only and pity her husband, and did give her some money, and she blessed me and went away. Anon, my business at the office being done, I to the Tower to speak with Sir John Robinson about business, principally the bad condition of the pressed men for want of clothes, as it is represented from the fleet, and so to provide them shirts and stockings and drawers. Having done with him about that, I home, and there find my wife and the two Mistress Bataliers walking in the garden, I with them till almost 9 at night, and then they and we and Mistress Mercer, the mother and her daughter Anne, and our Mercer to supper, to a good venison pasty and other good things, and had a good supper, and very merry, Mistress Bataliers being both very good-humoured. We sang and talked, and then led them home, and there they made us drink, and among other things did show us, in cages, some birds brought from about Bordeaux, that are all fat, and examining one of them, they are so, almost all fat. Their name is Ortolans, which are brought over to the king for him to eat, and indeed are excellent things. We parted from them, and so home to bed, it being very late, and to bed. The 11th and 12th of July. Up and by water to Sir George Downing's, there to discourse with him about the relief of the prisoners in Holland, which I did, and we do resolve of the manner of sending them some. So I away by coach to St. James's, and there hear that the Duchess is lately brought to bed of a boy. By and by called to wait on the Duke, the King, being present, and there agreed, among other things, of the places to build the 10 new great ships ordered to be built, and as to the relief of prisoners in Holland, and then about several stories of the baseness of the Kings of Spain's being served with officers, they in Flanders having as good common men as any prince in the world, but the veriest cowards for the officers, nay, for the general officers, as the general and lieutenant general in the whole world. But above all things the king did speak most in contempt of the ceremoniousness of the King of Spain, that he doth nothing but under some ridiculous form or other, and will not piss but another must hold the chamber pot. Thence to Westminster Hall, and there stayed a while, and then to the Swan, and kissed Sarah, and so home to dinner, and after dinner out again to Sir Robert Viner, and there did agree with him to accommodate some business of tallies, so as I shall get in near £2,000 into my own hands, which is in the King's, upon tallies, which will be a pleasure to me, and satisfaction, to have a good sum in my own hands whenever evil disturbances should be in the state, though it troubles me to lose so great a profit as the King's interest of 10% for that money. Thence to Westminster, doing several things by the way, and there failed of meeting Mistress Lane, and so by coach took up my wife at her sister's, and so away to Islington, she and I alone, and so through Hackney, and home late, our discourse being about laying up of some money safe, in prevention to the troubles I am afeard we may have in the state. And so, sleepy, for want of sleep the last night, going to bed late and rising betimes in the morning, home. But when I came to the office, I there met with a command from my Lord Arlington to go down to a galliot at Greenwich, by the King's particular command, that is going to carry the Savoy envoy over, and we fear there may be many Frenchmen there on board, and so I have a power and command to search for and seize all that have not passes from one of the Secretaries of State, and to bring them and their papers and everything else in custody some whither. So I to the Tower and got a couple of musketeers with me, and Griffin and my boy Tom, and so down, and being come found none on board but two or three servants, looking to horses and dogs there on board, and seeing no more, I stayed not long there but away, and on shore at Greenwich, the night being late and the tide against us. So having sent before to Mistress Clark's, and there I had a good bed, and well received, the whole people rising to see me, and among the rest young Mistress Daniel, whom I kissed again and again alone, and so by and by to bed, and slept pretty well. But was up again by 5 o'clock, and was forced to rise, having much business, and so up and dressed myself, inquiring was told that Mistress Tooker was gone thence to live at London, and away with Poundy to the Tower, and thence, having shifted myself, but being mighty drowsy for want of sleep, I by coach to St. James's to Goring House, where to wait on my Lord Arlington to give him an account of my night's work. But he was not up, being not long since married. So after walking up and down the house below, being the house I was once at Hartlib's sister's wedding, and is a very fine house and finely furnished, and then thinking it too much for me to lose time to wait my Lord's rising, I away to St. James's, and there to Sir William Coventry, and wrote a letter to my Lord Arlington, giving him an account of what I have done, and so with Sir William Coventry into London to the office, and all the way I observed him mightily to make mirth of the Duke of Albemarle and his people about him, saying that he was the happiest man in the world for doing of great things by sorry instruments, and so particularised in Sir William Clarke and Riggs and Halsey and others, and then again said that the only quality eminent in him was that he did persevere, and indeed he is a very drudge and stands by the King's business. And this, he said, that one thing he was good at, that he never would receive an excuse if the thing was not done, listening to no reason for it, be it good or bad. But then I told him, which he confessed, that he would, however, give the man that he employs orders for the removing of any obstruction that he thinks he shall meet with in the world, and instanced in several warrants that he issued, for breaking open of houses and other outrages about the business of prizes, which people bore with, either for affection or fear, which he believes would not have been borne with from the King nor Duke nor any man else in England. And I think he is in the right, but it is not from their love of him, but from something else I cannot presently say. Sir William Coventry did further say, concerning Walkup, his kinsman, that had the simplicity to tell Sir William Coventry that the Duke did intend to go to sea and to leave him his agent on shore for all things that related to the sea. But, says Sir William Coventry, I did believe but the Duke of York would expect to be his agent on shore for all sea matters. And then he began to say what a great man Walkup was, and something else, and what was that but a great liar, and told me a story how at table he did, they speaking about antipathies, say that a rose, touching his skin anywhere, would make it rise and pimple. And by, the dessert coming with roses upon it, the Duchess bid him try, and they did, but they rubbed and rubbed, but nothing would do in the world, by which his lie was found out then. He spoke contemptibly of Holmes and his myrmidons that came to take down the ships from hence, and have carried them without any necessaries or anything almost, that they will certainly be longer getting ready than if they had stayed here. In fine, I do observe he hath no esteem nor kindness for the Duke's matters, but contrarily doth slight him and them, and I pray God the kingdom do not pay too dear by this jarring, though this block-headed duke I did never expect better from. At the office all the morning, at noon home, and thought to have slept, my head all day being full of business, and yet sleepy and out of order. And so I lay down on my bed in my gown to sleep, but I could not. Therefore, about 3 o'clock up, and to dinner, and thence to the office where Mistress Burrows, my pretty widow, was, and so I did her business, and sent her away by agreement, and presently I by coach after her, and took her up in Fenchurch Street, and away through the city, hiding my face as much as I could. But she, being mighty pretty and well enough clad, I was not afeard, but only lest somebody shall see me and think me idle. I quite through with her, and so into the fields Uxbridge way, a mile or two beyond Tyburn, and then back, and then to Paddington, and then to Lisson Green, a place the coachman led me to, I never knew in my life. And there we ate and drank, and so back to Charing Cross, and there I set her down. All the way most excellent pretty company. I had her lips as much as I would, and a mighty pretty woman she is, and very modest, and yet kind in all fair ways. All this time I passed with mighty pleasure, it being what I have for a long time wished for, and did pay this day 5 shillings forfeit for her company. She being gone, I to Whitehall, and there to Lord Arlington's, and met Mr. Williamson, and find there is no more need of my trouble about the galliot last night. So, with content, departed and went straight home, where at the office did the most at the office in that wearied and sleepy state I could, and so home and to supper. And after supper, falling to singing with Mercer, did, however, sit up with her, she pleasing me with her singing of Help, Help, till past midnight, and I not a whit drowsy, and so to bed. The 13th of July. Lay sleepy in bed till 8 in the morning, then up and to the office, where till about noon, then out to the change in several places, and so home to dinner. Then out again to Sir Robert Viner, and there to my content settle the business of 2 tallies, so as I shall have £2,000 almost more of my own money in my hand, which pleases me mightily. And so home, and there to the office, where mighty busy, and then home to supper, and to even my journal, and to bed. Our fleet being now in all points ready to sail, but for the carrying of the 2 or 3 new ships with them, which will keep them a day or 2 or 3 more. It is said the Dutch is gone off our coast, but I have no good reason to believe it, Sir William Coventry not thinking any such thing. The 14th of July. Up betimes to the office to write fair a laborious letter I wrote, as from the board, to the Duke of York, laying out our want of money again, and particularly the business of Captain Cox's tender of hemp, which my Lord Brunker brought in under an unknown hand, without name, wherein his lordship will have no great success, I doubt. That being done, I down to Thames Street, and there agreed for 4 or 5 tons of cork, to send this day to the fleet, being a new device to make barricadoes with instead of junk. By this means I came to see and kiss Mr. Hill's young wife, and a blithe young woman she is. So to the office, and at noon home to dinner, and then sent for young Mitchell, and employed him all the afternoon about weighing and shipping off of the cork, having by this means an opportunity of getting him 30 or 40 shillings. Having set him a-doing, I home and to the office very late, very busy, and did indeed dispatch much business. And so to supper, and to bed, after a song in the garden, which, and after dinner, is now the greatest pleasure I take, and indeed doth please me mightily. To bed after washing my legs and feet with warm water in my kitchen. This evening I had Davila brought home to me, and I find it a most excellent history as ever I read. The 15th of July, Lord's Day. Up and to church, where our lecturer made a sorry, silly sermon upon the great point of proving the truth of the Christian religion. Home and had a good dinner, expecting Mr. Hunt, but there comes only young Mitchell and his wife, whom my wife concurs with me to be a pretty woman, and with her husband is a pretty innocent couple. Mighty pleasant we were, and I mightily pleased in her company, and to find my wife so well pleased with them also. After dinner, he and I walked to Whitehall, not being able to get a coach. He to the Abbey, and I to Whitehall, but met with nobody to discourse with, having no great mind to be found idling there and be asked questions of the fleet. So walked only through to the park, and there, it being mighty hot, and I weary, lay down by the canal upon the grass, and slept a while, and was thinking of a lampoon which hath run in my head this week, to make upon the late fight at sea and the miscarriages there, but other businesses put it out of my head. Having lain there a while, I then to the Abbey, and there called Mitchell, and so walked in great pain, having new shoes on as far as Fleet Street, and there got a coach, and so in some little ease home, and there drank a great deal of small beer, and so took up my wife and Betty Mitchell and her husband, and away into the fields to take the air, as far as beyond Hackney, and so back again. In our way drinking a great deal of milk, which I drank to take away my heartburn, wherewith I have been of late mightily troubled. But all the way home I did break abundance of wind behind, which did presage no good, but a great deal of cold gotten. So home and supped, and away went Mitchell and his wife, of whom I stole two or three salutes, and so to bed in some pain, and in fear of more, which accordingly I met with, for I was in mighty pain all night long, of the wind griping of my belly, and making of me shit often, and vomit too, which is a thing not usual with me. But this I impute to the milk that I drank after so much beer, but the cold to my washing my feet the night before. The 16th of July. Lay in great pain in bed all the morning and most of the afternoon, being in much pain, making little or no water, and indeed having little within to make any with, and had great twinges with the wind all the day, in my belly with wind, and a looseness with it, which, however, made it not so great as I have heretofore had it. A wonderful dark sky and shower of rain this morning, which at Harwich proved so too, with a shower of hail as big as walnuts. I had some broth made me to drink, which I love, only to fill up room. Up in the afternoon and passed the day with Balti, who is come from sea for a day or two before the fight, and I perceive could be willing fairly to be out of the next fight, and I cannot much blame him, he having no reason by his place to be there, however would not have him to be absent manifestly to avoid being there. At night grew a little better and took a glister of sack, but taking it but by halves, it did me not much good, I taking but a little of it. However, to bed, and had a pretty good night of it, so as to be able to rise to go to the office, and there sat. But now and then in pain, and without making much water, or freely. However, it grew better and better, so as after dinner, believing the jogging in a coach would do me good, I did take my wife out to the New Exchange to buy things. She there, while I with Balti went and bought a common riding cloak for myself, to save my best. It cost me but 30 shillings, and will do my turn mighty well. Thence home and walked in the garden with Sir William Penn a while, and saying how the riding in the coach doth me good, though I do not yet much find it, he ordered his to be got ready while I did some little business at the office. And so abroad, he and I, after 8 o'clock at night, as far almost as Bow, and so back again, and so home to supper and to bed. This day I did bid Balti to agree with the Dutch painter, which he once led me to see landscapes, for a winter piece of snow, which indeed is a good piece, and costs me but 40 shillings, which I would not take the money again for, it being, I think, mighty good. After a little supper, to bed, being in less pain still, and had very good rest. The 18th of July. Up in good ease, and so by coach to St. James's after my fellows, and there did our business, which is mostly every day to complain of want of money, and that only will undo us in a little time. Here, among other things, before us all, the Duke of York did say that now at length he is come to a sure knowledge that the Dutch did lose in the late engagements 29 captains and 13 ships, upon which Sir William Coventry did publicly move that if His Royal Highness had this of a certainty, it would be of use to send this down to the fleet, and to cause it to be spread about the fleet for the recovering of the spirits of the officers and seamen, who are under great dejectedness for want of knowing that they did do anything against the enemy, notwithstanding all that they did to us, which, though it be true, yet methought was one of the most dishonourable motions to our countrymen that ever was made, and is worth remembering. Thence, with Sir William Penn home, calling at Lilly's to have a time appointed when to be drawn among the other commanders of flags the last year's fight. And so full of work Lilly is, that he was fain to take his table-book out to see how his time is appointed, and appointed 6 days hence for him to come, between 7 and 8 in the morning. Thence with him home, and there by appointment I find Dr. Fuller, now Bishop of Limerick in Ireland, whom I knew in his low condition at Twickenham. I had also, by his desire, Sir William Penn, and with him his lady and daughter, and had a good dinner, and find the bishop the same good man as ever, and in a word, kind to us, and methinks one of the comeliest and most becoming prelates in all respects that ever I saw in my life. During dinner comes an acquaintance of his, Sir Robert Littleton, whom I knew not while he was in my house, but liked his discourse. And afterward by Sir William Penn do come to know that he is one of the greatest speakers in the House of Commons, and the usual second to the great Vaughan. So was sorry I did observe him no more and gain more of his acquaintance. After dinner, they being gone, and I mightily pleased with my guests, I down the river to Greenwich about business, and thence walked to Woolwich, reading The Rival Ladies all the way, and find it a most pleasant and fine writ play. At Woolwich saw Mr. Sheldon, it being late, and there ate and drank, being kindly used by him and Bab, and so by water to Deptford, it being 10 o'clock before I got to Deptford, and dark, and there to Bagwell's, and having stayed there a while, away home, and after supper to bed. The Duke of York said this day that by letters from the generals they would sail with the fleet this day or tomorrow. The 19th of July. Up in very good health in every respect, only my late fever got by my pain doth break out about my mouth. So to the office, where all the morning sitting full of wants of money and much stores to buy for to replenish the stores, and no money to do it with, nor anybody to trust us without it. So at noon, home to dinner, Balty and his wife with us. By and by Balty takes his leave of us, he going away just now toward the fleet, where he will pass through one great engagement more before he be 2 days older, I believe. I to the office, where busy all the afternoon late, and then home, and after some pleasant discourse with my wife to bed. After I was in bed I had a letter from Sir William Coventry that tells me that the fleet is sailed this morning. God send us good news of them. The 20th of July. Up, and finding by a letter late last night that the fleet is gone, and that Sir William Penn is ordered to go down to Sheerness, and finding him ready to go to St. James's this morning, I was willing to go with him to see how things go, and so with him thither, but no discourse with the Duke but to Whitehall, and there the Duke of York did bid Sir William Penn to stay to discourse with him and the King about business of the fleet, which troubled me a little, but it was only out of envy, for which I blame myself, having no reason to expect to be called to advise in a matter I understand not. So I away to Lovett's, there to see how my picture goes on to be varnished, a fine crucifix, which will be very fine. And here I saw some fine prints, brought from France by Sir Thomas Crewe, who is lately returned. So home, calling at the stationer's for some paper fit to varnish, and in my way home met with Lovett, to whom I gave it. And he did present me with a varnished staff, very fine, and light to walk with. So home and to dinner, there coming young Mistress Daniel and her sister Sarah, and dined with us, and old Mr. Hawley, whose condition pities me, he being forced to turn under parish clerk at St. Giles's, I think, at the other end of the town. Thence I to the office, where busy all the afternoon, and in the evening with Sir William Penn, walking with whom in the garden, with whom I am of late mighty great, and it is wisdom to continue myself so, for he is, of all men in the office at present, most manifestly useful, and best thought of. He and I supped together upon the seat in the garden, and thence, he gone, my wife and Mercer came and walked, and sang late, and then home to bed. The 21st of July. Up into the office where all the morning, sitting at noon, walked in the garden with Commissioner Pett, newly come to town, who tells me how infinite the disorders are among the commanders and all officers of the fleet. No discipline, nothing but swearing and cursing, and everybody doing what they please, and the generals, understanding no better, suffer it, to the reproaching of this board or whoever it will be. He himself hath been challenged twice to the field, or something as good, by Sir Edward Spragg and Captain Seymour. He tells me the captains carry, for all the late orders, what men they please. Demand and consume what provisions they please. So that he fears, and I do no less, that God Almighty cannot bless us while we keep in this disorder that we are in. He observing to me, too, that there is no man of counsel or advice in the fleet, and the truth is, the gentlemen captains will undo us, for they are not to be kept in order. Their friends about the king and duke in their own houses is so free that it is not for any person but the duke himself to have any command over them. He gone, I to dinner, and then to the office, where busy all the afternoon. At night walked in the garden with my wife, and so home to supper and to bed. Sir William Penn is gone down to Sheerness today, to see things made ready against the fleet shall come in again, which makes Pett mad, and calls him dissembling knave, and that himself takes all the pains, and is blamed while he doth nothing but hinder business, and takes all the honour of it to himself, and tells me plainly he will fling up his commission rather than bear it. The 22nd of July, Lord's Day. Up and to my chamber, and there till noon, mighty busy setting money matters and other things of mighty moment to rights, to the great content of my mind, I finding that accounts but a little let go can never be put in order by strangers, for I cannot without much difficulty do it myself. After dinner to them again till about 4 o'clock, and then walked to Whitehall, where saw nobody almost, but walked up and down with Hugh May, who is a very ingenious man, among other things, discoursing of the present fashion of gardens, to make them plain, that we have the best walks of gravel in the world, France having none, nor Italy, and our green of our bowling alleys is better than any they have. So our business here being air, this is the best way, only with a little mixture of statues or pots, which may be handsome, and so filled with another pot of such or such, a flower or green, as the season of the year will bear. And then for flowers, they are best seen in a little plate by themselves. Besides, their borders spoil the walks of any other garden. And then for fruit, the best way is to have walls built circularly, one within another, to the south, on purpose for fruit, and leave the walking garden only for that use. Thence walked through the house where most people mighty hush, and methinks melancholy. I saw not a smiling face through the whole court, and in my conscience they are doubtful of the conduct again of the generals, and I pray God they may not make their fears reasonable. Sir Richard Fanshawe is lately dead at Madrid. Guyland is lately overthrown wholly in Barbary by the King of Tafiletta. The fleet cannot yet get clear of the river, but expect the first wind to be out, and then to be sure they fight. The Queen and Maids of Honour are at Tunbridge. The 23rd of July. Up into my chamber, doing several things there of moment, and then comes Simpson, the joiner, and he and I with great pains contriving presses to put my books up in, they now growing numerous, and lying one upon another on my chairs. I lose the use, to avoid the trouble of removing them when I would open a book. Thence out to the excise office about business, and then homewards. Met Colville, who tells me he hath £1,000 ready for me upon a tally, which pleases me, and yet I know not now what to do with it, having already as much money as is fit for me to have in the house. But I will have it. I did also meet Alderman Backwell, who tells me of the hard usage he now finds from Mr. Fenn, in not getting him a bill or two paid, now that he can be no more useful to him. Telling me that what by his being abroad and Shaw's death, he hath lost the ball,
but that he doubts not to come to give a kick at it still, and then he shall be wiser and keep it while he hath it. But he says he hath a good master, the king, who will not suffer him to be undone, as otherwise he must have been, and I believe him. So home and to dinner, where I confess, reflecting upon the ease and plenty that I live in, of money, goods, servants, honour, everything, I could not but with hearty thanks to Almighty God ejaculate my thanks to him while I was at dinner to myself. After dinner to the office, and there till 5 or 6 o'clock, and then by coach to St. James's, and there with Sir William Coventry, and Sir George Downing to take the air in the park, all full of expectation of the fleet's engagement, but it is not yet. Sir William Coventry says they are 89 men of war, and but 1/5 rate, and that the sweepstakes, which carries 40 guns. They are most infinitely manned, he tells me. The Loyal London, Sir Jeremy Smith, which, by the way, he commends to be the best ship in the world, large and by, hath above 800 men, and more takes notice, which is worth notice, that the fleet hath lain now near 14 days without any demand for a farthing worth of anything of any kind, but only to get men. But also observes that with this excess of men, nevertheless they have thought fit to leave behind them 16 ships, which they have robbed of their men, which certainly might have been manned, and they been serviceable in the fight, and yet the fleet, well manned, according to the excess of supernumeraries, which we hear they have. At least 2 or 3 of them might have been left unmanned and sent away with the Gothenburg ships. They conclude this to be much the best fleet for force of guns, greatness and number of ships and men that ever England did see, being, as Sir William Coventry reckons, besides those left behind, 89 men of war and 20 fireships, though we cannot hear that they have with them above 18. The French are not yet joined with the Dutch, which doth dissatisfy the Hollanders. And if they should have a defeat, will undo De Witt. The people generally of Holland do hate this league with France. We cannot think of any business but lie big with expectation of the issue of this fight. But do conclude that this fight being over, we shall be able to see the whole issue of the war, good or bad. So homeward, and walked over the park, St. James's, with Sir George Downing, and at Whitehall, took a coach, and there to supper with much pleasure, and to bed. The 24th of July. Up into the office, where little business done, our heads being full of expectation of the fleets being engaged, but no certain notice of it. Only Shepherd and the Duke's yacht left them yesterday morning within a league of the Dutch fleet, and making after them, they standing into the sea. At noon, to dinner, and after dinner, with Mercer, as of late my practice is, a song. And so to the office, there to set up again my frames about my plates, which I have got to be all gilded and look very fine. And then to my business, and busy, very late, till midnight, drawing up a representation of the state of my victualling business to the Duke, I having never appeared to him doing anything too yet. And therefore I now do it in writing, I having now the advantage of having had 2 fleets dispatched in better condition than ever any fleets were yet, I believe, at least with least complaint, and by this means I shall, with the better confidence, get my bills out for my salary. So home to bed. The 25th of July. Up betimes to write fair my last night's paper for the Duke, and so along with Sir William Batten by hackney coach to St. James's, where the Duke is gone abroad with the King to the park. But anon came back to Whitehall, and so we, after an hour's waiting, walked thither, I having desired Sir William Coventry in his chamber to read over my paper about the victualling, which he approves of, and I'm glad I showed it him first. It makes it the less necessary to show it the Duke at all, but I find it best to let it alone. At Whitehall we find the court gone to chapel, it being St. James's Day. And by, while they are at chapel, and we waiting chapel being done, comes people out of the park telling us that the guns are heard plain. And so everybody to the park, and by, the chapel done, and the King and Duke into the bowling green and upon the leads, whither I went, and there the guns were plain to be heard, though it was pretty to hear how confident some would be in the loudness of the guns, when it was as much as ever I could do to hear them. By and by the king to dinner, and I waited there his dining, but, Lord, how little I should be pleased, I think, to have so many people crowding about me. And among other things it astonished me to see my Lord Berkshire waiting at table and serving the king drink, in that dirty pickle as I never saw man in my life. Here I met Mr. Williams, who in serious discourse told me he did hope well of this fight, because of the equality of force, or rather our having the advantage in number, and also because we did not go about it with that presumption that we did heretofore, when, he told me, he did before the last fight, look upon us by our pride fated to be overcome. He would have me to dine where he was invited to dine, at the back stairs. So after the king's meat was taken away, we thither, but he would not stay, but left me there among two or three of the king's servants, where we dined with the meat that came from his table, which was most excellent, with most brave drink, cooled in ice, which at this hot time was welcome. And I, drinking no wine, had metheglin for the king's own drinking, which did please me mightily. Thence, having dined mighty nobly, I away to Mistress Martin's new lodgings, where I find her, and was with her alone. Lord, how big she is already! She is, at least seems, in mighty trouble for her husband at sea, when I'm sure she cares not for him, and I would not undeceive her, though I know his ship is one of those that is not gone, but left behind without men. Thence to Whitehall again to hear news, but found none, so back toward Westminster, and there met Mistress Burrows, whom I had a mind to meet, but being undressed did appear a mighty ordinary woman. Thence by water home, and out again by coach to Lovett's to see my crucifix, which is not done. So to Whitehall again to have met Sir George Carteret, but he is gone abroad, so back homewards, and seeing Mr. Spong, took him up, and he and I to Reeves the glassmaker's, and did see several glasses, and had pretty discourse with him, and so away, and set down Mr. Spong in London, and so home and with my wife late, twattling at my Lady Pen's, and so home to supper, and to bed. I did this afternoon call at my woman that ruled my paper to bespeak a music card, and there did kiss Nan. No news tonight from the fleet how matters go yet. The 26th of July. Up into the office, where all the morning at noon dined at home Mr. Hunt and his wife, who is very gallant and newly come from Cambridge because of the sickness, with us. Very merry at table, and the people I do love mightily. But being in haste to go to Whitehall, I rose, and Mr. Hunt with me, and by coach thither where I left him in the boarded gallery, and I by appointment to attend the Duke of York at his closet. But being not come, Sir George Carteret and I did talk together, and advises me that if I could, I would get the papers of examination touching the business of the last year's prizes, which concern my Lord Sandwich out of Warcup's hand, who, being now under disgrace, and poor, he believes may be brought easily to part with them. My Lord Crewe, it seems, is fearful yet that matters may be inquired into. This I will endeavour to do, though I do not think it signifies much. By and by the Duke of York comes, and we had a meeting, and among other things I did read my declaration of the proceedings of the victualling action this year, and desired His Royal Highness to give me the satisfaction of knowing whether His Royal Highness were pleased therewith. He told me he was, and that it was a good account, and that the business of the victualling was much in a better condition than it was the last year, which did much joy me, being said in the company of my fellows, by which I shall be able, with confidence, to demand my salary and the rest of the sub-surveyors. Thence away, mightily satisfied, to Mistress Pierce's, there to find my wife. Mistress Pierce hath lain in of a boy about a month. The boy is dead this day. She lies in good state, and very pretty she is, but methinks doth every day grow more and more great, and a little too much, unless they got more money than I fear they do. Thence with my wife and Mercer to my Lord Chancellor's new house, and there carried them up to the Leads, where I find my Lord Chamberlain, Lauderdale, Sir Robert Murray, and others, and do find it the most delightful place for prospect that ever was in the world,
it even ravishing me. And that is all, in short, I can say of it. Thence to Islington, to our old house, and ate and drank, and so round by Kingsland home, and there to the office a little, and Sir William Batten's, but no news at all from the fleet, and so home to bed. The 27th of July. Up and to the office, where all the morning busy, at noon dined at home, and then to the office again, and there walking in the garden with Captain Cock till 5 o'clock. No news yet of the fleet. His great bargain of hemp with us, by his unknown proposition, is disliked by the king, and so is quite off, of which he is glad, by this means being rid of his obligation to my Lord Brunker, which he was tired with, and especially his mistress, Mistress Williams. And so will fall into another way about it, wherein he will advise only with myself, which doth not displease me, and will be better for him, and the king too. Much common talk of public businesses, the want of money, the uneasiness that Parliament will find in raising any, and the ill condition we shall be in if they do not, and his confidence that the Swede is true to us, but poor, but would be glad to do us all manner of service in the world. He gone, I away by water from the Old Swan to Whitehall. The waterman tells me that news is come that our ship Resolution is burnt, and that we had sunk 4 or 5 of the enemy's ships. When I came to Whitehall, I met with Creed, and he tells me the same news. And walking with him into the park, I to Sir William Coventry's lodging, and there he showed me Captain Talbot's letter, wherein he says that the fight begun on the 25th, that our white squadron begun with one of the Dutch squadrons, and then the red with another, so hot that we put them both to giving way, and so they continued in pursuit all the day, and as long as he stayed with them. That the blue fell to the Zealand squadron, and after a long dispute, he against 2 or 3 great ships, he received 8 or 9 dangerous shots, and so came away, and says he saw the Resolution burned by one of their fire-ships, and 4 or 5 of the enemy's, but says that 2 or 3 of our great ships were in danger of being fired by our own fire-ships, which Sir William Coventry nor I cannot understand. But upon the whole, he and I walk 2 or 3 turns in the park under the great trees, and do doubt that this gallant is come away a little too soon, having lost never a mast nor sail. And then we did begin to discourse of the young gentleman captains, which he was very free with me in speaking his mind of the unruliness of them, and what a loss the king hath of his old men, and now of this Hannam of the Resolution, if he be dead, and that there is but few old sober men in the fleet, and if those few of the flags that are so should die, he fears some other gentlemen captains will get in, and then what a council we shall have, God knows. He told me how he is disturbed to hear the commanders at sea called cowards here on shore, and that he was yesterday concerned publicly, at a dinner, to defend them against somebody that said that not above 20 of them fought as they should do, and indeed it is derived from the Duke of Albemarle himself, who wrote so to the King and Duke, and that he told them how they fought 4 days, 2 of them with great disadvantage. That Count de Guiche, who was on board de Ruyter, writing his narrative home in French of the fight, doth lay all the honour that may be upon the English courage above the Dutch, and that himself was sent down from the King and Duke of York, after the fight, to pray them to spare none that they thought had not done their parts, and that they have removed but 4, whereof Dutel is one, of whom he would say nothing, but it seems the Duke of York hath been much displeased at his removal, and hath now taken him into his service, which is a plain affront to the Duke of Albemarle. And 2 of the others, Sir William Coventry, did speak very slenderly of their faults. Only the last, which was old Teddyman, he says is in fault, and hath little to excuse himself with, and that therefore we should not be forward in condemning men of want of courage, when the generals, who are both men of mettle, and hate cowards, and had the sense of our ill success upon them, and by the way must either let the world think it was the miscarriage of the captains, or their own conduct, have thought fit to remove no more of them, when desired by the King and Duke of York to do it, without respect to any favour any of them can pretend to in either of them.
At last we concluded that we never can hope to meet the Dutch with such advantages as now, in number and force, and a fleet in want of nothing. And he hath often repeated, now and at other times, industriously, that many of the captains have declared that they want nothing, and again that they did lie 10 days together at the Nore, without demanding of anything in the world but men, and of them, they afterward, when they went away, the generals themselves acknowledge that they have permitted several ships to carry supernumeraries. But that if we do not speed well, we must then play small games, and spoil their trade in small parties. And so we parted, and I, meeting Creed in the park again, did take him by coach, and to Islington, thinking to have met my Lady Penn and wife. But they were gone, so we ate and drank, and away back, setting him down in Cheapside, and I home, and there, after a little while mending of my tune to It Is Decreed, to bed. The 28th of July. Up and to the office, where no more news of the fleet than was yesterday. Here we sat, and at noon to dinner to the Pope's Head, where my Lord Brunker and his mistress dined, and Commissioner Pett, Dr. Charlton, and myself entertained with a venison pasty by Sir William Warren. Here very pretty discourse of Dr. Charlton, concerning nature's fashioning every creature's teeth according to the food she intends them, and that man's, it is plain, was not for flesh, but for fruit, and that he can at any time tell the food of a beast unknown by the teeth. My Lord Brunker made one or two objections to it, that creatures find their food proper for their teeth, rather than that the teeth was fitted for the food. But the doctor, I think, did well observe that creatures do naturally, and from the first, before they have had experience to try, do love such a food rather than another, and that all children love fruit, and none brought to flesh but against their wills at first. Thence with my Lord Brunker to Whitehall, where no news, so to St. James's, to Sir William Coventry, and there hear only of the Breeders being come in, and gives the same small account that the other did yesterday, so that we know not what is done by the body of the fleet at all, but conceive great reason to hope well. Thence with my Lord to his coach-house, and there put in 6 horses into his coach, and he and I alone to Highgate, all the way going and coming, I learning of him the principles of optics, and what it is that makes an object seem less or bigger, and how much distance doth lessen an object, and that it is not the eye at all, or any rule in optics that can tell distance, but it is only an act of reason, comparing of one mark with another, which did both please and inform me mightily. Being come thither, we went to my Lord Lauderdale's house, to speak with him about getting a man at Leith to join with one we employ to buy some prize goods for the king. We find him and his lady and some Scotch people at supper, pretty odd company. Though my Lord Brunker tells me my Lord Lauderdale is a man of mighty good reason and judgment. But at supper there played one of their servants upon the violin, some Scotch tunes only, several, and the best of their country, as they seem to esteem them by their praising and admiring them, but, Lord, the strangest air that ever I heard in my life, and all of one cast. But strange to hear my Lord Lauderdale say himself that he had rather hear a cat mew than the best music in the world, and the better the music, the more sick it makes him, and that of all instruments he hates the lute most, and next to that, the bagpipe. Thence back with my Lord to his house, all the way good discourse, informing of myself about optics still, and there left him, and by a hackney home, and after writing 3 or 4 letters, home to supper and to bed. The 29th of July, Lord's Day. Up and all the morning in my chamber, making up my accounts in my book with my father and brother, and stating them. Towards noon, before sermon was done at church, comes news by a letter to Sir William Batten, to my hand, of the late fight, which I sent to his house, he at church. But, Lord, with what impatience I stayed till sermon was done, to know the issue of the fight, with 1,000 hopes and fears and thoughts about the consequences of either.
At last sermon is done, and he came home, and the bells immediately rung as soon as the church was done. But coming to Sir William Batten to know the news, his letter said nothing of it, but all the town is full of a victory. By and by a letter from Sir William Coventry tells me that we have the victory, beat them into the wheelings, had taken two of their great ships, but by the orders of the generals they are burned, this being, methought, but a poor result after the fighting of two so great fleets. And 4 days, having no tidings of them, I was still impatient, but could know no more, so away, home to dinner, where Mr. Spong and Reeves dined with me by invitation. After dinner, to our business of my microscope, to be shown some of the observables of that. And then down to my office, to look in a dark room with my glasses and tube, and most excellently things appeared indeed, beyond imagination. This was our work all the afternoon, trying the several glasses and several objects. Among others, one of my plates, where the lines appeared so very plain, that it is not possible to think how plain it was done. Then, satisfied exceedingly with all this, we home, and to discourse many pretty things, and so stayed out the afternoon till it begun to be dark, and then they away, and I to Sir William Batten, where the lieutenant of the Tower was, and Sir John Minnis. And the news, I fear, is nor more nor less than what I had heard before, only that our blue squadron, it seems, was pursued the most of the time, having more ships, a great many, than its number allotted to her share. Young Seymour is killed, the only captain slain, the Resolution burned, but, as they say, most of her men and commander saved. This is all, only we keep the sea, which denotes a victory, or at least that we are not beaten. But no great matters to brag on, God knows. So home to supper and to bed. The 30th of July. Up and did some business in my chamber, then by and by comes my boy's lute master, and I did direct him hereafter to begin to teach him to play his part on the theorbo, which he will do, and that in a little time, I believe. So to the office, and there with Sir William Warren, with whom I have spent no time a good while. We set right our business of the lighters, wherein I think I shall get £100. At noon, home to dinner, and there did practice with Mercer one of my new tunes that I've got Dr. Child to set me a bass to, and it goes prettily. Thence abroad to pay several debts at the end of the month, and so to Sir William Coventry at St. James's, where I find him in his new closet, which is very fine, and well supplied with handsome books. I find him speak very slightly of the late victory, dislikes their staying with the fleet up their coast, believing that the Dutch will come out in 14 days, and then we, with our unready fleet by reason of some of the ships being maimed, shall be in bad condition to fight them upon their own coast. Is much dissatisfied with the great number of men and their fresh demands of 24 victualling ships, they going out but the other day as full as they could stow. I asked him whether he did never desire an account of the number of supernumeraries, as I have done several ways, without which we shall be in great error about the victuals. He says he hath done it again and again, and if any mistake should happen, they must thank themselves. He spoke slightly of the Duke of Albemarle, saying, when De Ruyter came to give him a broadside, "Now," says he, choring of tobacco the while, "will this fellow come and give me 2 broadsides, and then he will run?" But it seems he held him to it 2 hours till the Duke himself was forced to retreat to refit, and was towed off, and De Ruyter stayed for him till he came back again to fight. One in the ship, saying to the Duke, "Sir, methinks De Ruyter hath given us more than 2 broadsides. "Well," says the Duke, "but you shall find him run by and by." "And so he did," says Sir William Coventry, "but after the Duke himself had been first made to fall off." The Resolution had all brass guns, being the same that Sir John Lawson had in her, in the Straits. It is observed that the 2 fleets were even in number, to 1 ship. Thence home, and to sing with my wife and Mercer in the garden, and coming in I find my wife plainly dissatisfied with me, that I can spend so much time with Mercer, teaching her to sing, and could never take that pains with her, which I acknowledge.
but it is because that the girl doth take music mighty readily, and she doth not. And music is the thing of the world that I love most, and all the pleasure almost that I can now take. So to bed in some little discontent, but no words from me. The 31st of July. Good friends in the morning, and up to the office where sitting all the morning, and while at table we were mightily joyed with news brought by Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten of the death of De Ruyter. But when Sir William Coventry came, he told us there was no such thing, which quite dashed me again, though, God forgive me, I was a little sorry in my heart before, lest it might give occasion of too much glory to the Duke of Albemarle. Great bandying this day between Sir William Coventry and my Lord Brunker about Captain Cock, which I am well pleased with, while I keep from any open violence on either side, but rather on Sir William Coventry. At noon had a haunch of venison boiled, and a very good dinner beside, there dining with me on a sudden invitation, the two maiden sisters Bateliers, and their elder brother, a pretty man, understanding and well discoursed, much pleased with his company. Having dined myself, I rose to go to a committee of Tangier, and did come thither time enough to meet Povey and Creed, and none else, the court being empty, the king gone to Tunbridge, and the Duke of York a-hunting. I had some discourse with Povey, who is mightily discontented, I find, about his disappointments at court, and says, of all places, if there be hell, it is here. No faith, no truth, no love, nor any agreement between man and wife, nor friends. He would have spoke broader, but I put it off to another time, and so parted. Then, with Creed, and read over with him the narrative of the late fight, which he makes a very poor thing of, as indeed it is, and speaks most slightingly of that whole matter. Povey discoursed with me about my Lord Peterborough's £50, which his man did give me from him, the last year's salary I paid him, which he would have Povey pay him again. But I have not taken it to myself yet, and therefore will most heartily return him, and mark him out for a coxcomb. Povey went down to Mr. Williamson's and brought me up this extract out of the Flanders letters today come, that Admiral Evertsen and the Admiral and Vice-Admiral of Friesland, with many captains and men, are slain, that De Ruyter is safe, but lost 250 men out of his own ship, but that he is in great disgrace, and Trump in better favour. That Banquet's ship is burnt, himself hardly scraping with a few men on board De Hayes, that 15 captains are to be tried the 7th of August, and that the hangman was sent from Flushing to assist the Council of War. How much of this is true, time will show. Thence to Westminster Hall, and walked an hour with Creed, talking of the last fight, and observing the ridiculous management thereof and success of the Duke of Albemarle. Thence parted, and to Mistress Martin's lodgings, and sat with her a while, and then by water home, all the way reading the narrative of the last fight, in order, it may be, to the making some marginal notes upon it. At the Old Swan found my Betty Mitchell at the door, where I stayed talking to her a pretty while, it being dusky, and kissed her, and so away home, and writ my letters, and then home to supper, where the brother and Mary Batalier are still, and Mercer's two sisters. They have spent the time dancing this afternoon, and we were very merry. And then, after supper, into the garden, and there walked, and then home with them, and then back again, my wife and I and the girl, and sang in the garden, and then to bed. Colville was with me this morning, and to my great joy I could now have all my money in that I have in the world. But the times being open again, I think it is best to keep some of it abroad. Mighty well, and end this month in content of mind and body, the public matters looking more safe for the present than they did, and we having a victory over the Dutch, just such as I could have wished, and as the kingdom was fit to bear, enough to give us the name of conquerors and leave us masters of the sea, but without any such great matters done as should give the Duke of Albemarle any honour at all, or give him cause to rise to his former insolence. August 1666. The 1st. up betimes to the settling of my last month's accounts, and I bless God I find them very clear, and that I am worth £5,700, the most that ever my book did yet make out. So, prepared to attend the Duke of York, as usual, but Sir William Penn, just as I was going out, comes home from Sheerness, and held me in discourse about public business till I came by coach too late to St. James's, and there find that everything stood still, and nothing done for want of me. Thence walked over the park with Sir William Coventry, who I clearly see is not thoroughly pleased with the late management of the fight, nor with anything that the generals do, only is glad to hear that the writer is out of favour, and that this fight hath cost them 5,000 men, as they themselves do report. And it is a strange thing, as he observes, how now and then the slaughter runs on one hand, there being 5,000 killed on theirs, and not above 400 or 500 killed and wounded on ours, and as many flag officers on theirs as ordinary captains in ours, there being Evertsen, and the Admiral, and Vice-Admiral of Friesland on theirs, and Seymour, Martin, and John Parker of the Yarmouth, Joseph Saunders of the Breda, and Arthur Ashby of the Guinea, on ours. I left him going to chapel, it being the common fast day, and the Duke of York at chapel, and I to Mistress Martin's, but she abroad, so I sauntered to or again to the abbey, and then to the parish church, fearful of being seen to do so. And so, after the parish church was ended, I to the Swan, and there dined upon a rabbit, and after dinner to Mistress Martin's, and there find Mistress Burroughs. And by comes a pretty widow, one Mistress Eastwood, and one Mistress Fenton, a maid, and here Mary kissing and looking on their breasts, and all the innocent pleasure in the world. But, Lord, to see the dissembling of this widow, how upon the singing of a certain jig by Doll, Mistress Martin's sister, she seemed to be sick and fainted and God knows what, because the jig which her husband, who died this last sickness, loved. But by and by I made her as merry as is possible, and tossed and tumbled her as I pleased, and then carried her and her sober pretty kinswoman, Mistress Fenton, home to their lodging in the new market of my Lord Treasurer's, and there left them, mightily pleased with this afternoon's mirth, but in great pain to ride in a coach with them, for fear of being seen. So home and there much pleased with my wife's drawing today in her pictures, and so to supper and to bed. Very pleasant. The 2nd of August. Up and to the office, where we sat, and in discourse at the table with Sir William Batten, I was urged to tell him it was an untruth, which did displease him mightily, and parted at noon very angry with me. At home find Lovett, who brought me some papers varnished, and showed me my crucifix, which will be very fine when done. He dined with me and Balti's wife, who is in great pain for her husband, not hearing of him since the fight, but I understand he was not in it, going hence too late, and I am glad of it. Thence to the office, and thither Creed comes to me, and he and I walked a good while, and then to the victualling office together, and there with Mr. Gordon I did much business, and so away with Creed again, and by coach to see my Lord Brunker, who it seems was not well yesterday, but being come thither I find his coach ready to carry him abroad. But Tom, his footman, whatever the matter was loath to desire me to come in, but I walked a great while in the piazza till I was going away. But by and by, my lord himself comes down and coldly received me. So I soon parted, having enough for my over-officious folly in troubling myself to visit him. And I am apt to think that he was fearful that my coming was out of design to see how he spent his time, than to inquire after his health. So parted, and I with Creed down to the New Exchange stairs, and there I took water, and he parted. So home, and then down to Woolwich, reading and making an end of The Rival Ladies, and find it a very pretty play. At Woolwich, it being now night, I find my wife, and Mercer, and Mr. Battalier, and Mary there, and a supper getting ready. So I stayed in some pain, it being late and post-night. So supped, and merrily home, but it was 12 at night first. However, sent away some letters, and home to bed. The 3rd of August.
up into the office where Sir William Batten and I sat to contract for some fireships. I there close all the morning. At noon, home to dinner, and then abroad to Sir Philip Warwick at Whitehall about Tangier quarter tallies, and there had some serious discourse touching money and the case of the Navy, wherein all I could get of him was that we had the full understanding of the Treasure, as much as my Lord Treasurer himself, and know what he can do, and that whatever our case is, more money cannot be got till the Parliament, so talked of getting an account ready as soon as we could to give the Parliament, and so very melancholy parted. So I back again, calling my wife at her sister's, from whose husband we do now hear that he was safe this week, and going in a ship to the fleet, from the Boy of the Nor where he hath been all this while, the fleet being gone before he got down. So home, and busy till night, and then to Sir William Penn with my wife to sit and chat, and a small supper, and home to bed. The death of Evertsen and the report of our success beyond expectation in the killing of so great a number of men hath raised the estimation of the late victory considerably, but it is only among fools, for all that was but accidental. But this morning, getting Sir William Penn to read over the narrative with me, he did sparingly, yet plainly, say that we might have intercepted their Zealand squadron coming home if we had done our parts, and more, that we might have spooned before the wind as well as they, and have overtaken their ships in the pursuit in all that while. The 4th of August. Up into the office, where all the morning, and at noon, to dinner, and Mr. Cook dined with us, who is lately come from Hinchingbrook, who is also come to town. The family, all well, then I to the office, where very busy to state to Mr. Coventry the account of the victuals of the fleet, and late at it, and then home to supper and to bed. This evening Sir William Penn came into the garden, and walked with me, and told me that he had a certain notice that at Flushing they are in great distraction. The writer dares not come on shore for fear of the people, nor anybody open their houses or shops for fear of the tumult, which is a very good hearing. The 5th of August, Lord's Day. Up and down to the Old Swan, and there called Betty Mitchell and her husband, and had two or three long salutes from her out of sight of su marido, which pleased me mightily, and so carried them by water to Westminster, and I to St. James's, and there had a meeting before the Duke of York, complaining of want of money, but nothing done to any purpose, for want we shall, so that now our advices to him signify nothing. Here Sir William Coventry did acquaint the Duke of York how the world doth discourse of the ill method of our books, and that we would consider how to answer any inquiry which shall be made after our practice therein, which will, I think, concern the controller most, but I shall make it a memento to myself. Thence walked to the parish church, to have one look upon Betty Mitchell, and so away homeward by water, and landed to go to the church, where I believe Mistress Horsley goes by Merchant Taylor Hall. And there I find in the pulpit Elborough, my old schoolfellow and a simple rogue, and yet I find preaching a very good sermon, and in as right a parson-like manner, and in good manner too, as I have heard anybody, and the church very full, which is a surprising consideration. But I did not see her. So home, and had a good dinner, and after dinner with my wife and Mercer and Jane, by water, all the afternoon up as high as Mortlake, with great pleasure, and a fine day, reading over the second part of the Siege of Rhodes with great delight. We landed and walked at Barn Elms, and then at the neat houses I landed and bought a melon, and we did also land and eat and drink at Wandsworth, and so to the Old Swan, and there walked home, it being a mighty fine evening, cool evening, and there being come my wife and I spent an hour in the garden, talking of our living in the country, when I shall be turned out of the office, as I fear the Parliament may find faults enough with the office to remove us all. And I am joyed to think in how good a condition I am to retire thither, and have wherewith very well to subsist. Nan, at Sir William Penn's, lately married to one Markham, a kinsman of Sir William Penn's. A pretty wench she is. Thence home and to bed.